Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today is Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. I'm delighted to have him as our guest today as we talk about some very, very important moral, ethical, theological, doctrinal, political issues that I believe are all inculcated. There are a lot of people today that will say that the political issues ought not to be discussed spiritually or from the pulpits or from the standpoint of a Christian's worldview. But I would have us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, in God's world, in God's kingdom, in God's word, we find there's no segmenting and segregation, segregating of that which is political, that which is social, economic, or that which is spiritual. It's all one world and one worldview. And with a biblical worldview, we need to look at it equally with what God is doing and what God is saying. That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, is 831-0917, 831-0917. Congressman Hill, let me read a blurb from an article, let you respond to it. Moms of Liberty vows boycott. We're talking about just before the news break of what is taking place and how we should respond. This article further says, Disney has severely underestimated Florida parents. As the battle between the Walt Disney Company and Florida rages on, the co-founders of Moms for Liberty are calling for a boycott, saying Disney has severely underestimated Florida parents in this battle. On March 28, 2022, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed the Parental Rights Educational Bill. We talked about that a moment ago, House Bill 1557, inaccurately branded by the liberal opponents as Don't Say Gay Bill. And it prohibits the Florida educators from teaching anything about sexual orientation or gender identity to children in kindergarten through the third grade. The law does go further. The law goes further, enabling parents to sue if they believe schools or instructors have violated the law. And it goes on to talk about what the Parents for Liberty are saying. Parents are not going to put up with this nonsense, the one writer says, of the Moms for Liberty. We are watching woke corporations chip away at our parental rights, so we're not going to just stand on the street corner. We need to boycott Disney and do so now. We're in a war, and the war of moms are going to do what they're going to do when it comes to organization and businesses that support the grooming of our children. So with that being said, Congressman, it's not just Disney. It is the whole, if you please, spectrum of big business and the woke community today that has the philosophy and the mindset that we are so strong and we're so big and bad and we're so woke, whatever that connotes, that we can tell parents and moms and dads and companies how they should respond and what we should do. It's the whole ethical quagmire of losing what we at one time had as Americans, and that was the moral, ethical, fundamental foundation that was given to us by our forefathers in relationship to a Judeo-Christian mentality, mindset, and moral base in America. So, Congressman, with that being said, do you believe that it's vital for everyone listening today to basically defund Disney? And by that, I mean simply boycott. burn the tickets, trash anything that was a planned trip to Disney, don't buy any movies from Disney, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you respond to that? What do you recommend to our listeners based on what we're talking about and seeing taking place with Disneyland and what their woke ideas are about the indoctrination of our sons and daughters?
I agree 100%, Dr. Youngblood. Until Disney gets the message that we do not want their grooming of our children to take place, then we're not going to do business with you. It should be felt in their pocketbooks. I will go on to say that if you go to Walmart and you see the Mickey Mouse or Minnie or Goofy, whatever, stuffed dolls or toys or puzzles, anything has to do with Disney, don't buy it for your child.
Right.
Let Disney feel this in their pocketbooks. And we can go even further than that, Dr. Youngblood. The annual shareholders meeting season is upon us. Disney is going to have their shareholders meeting. And if we can see just in the last week or so how the value of their stock has dropped, then anyone who owns even one share of stock in Disney, and you can buy it for whatever amount it is, I don't know if it's $40, $50, whatever, one share of stock, that gives you a voice as a shareholder. You can show up to their meeting in person or you can participate online and make it known to Disney that as long as you continue this, you are not fulfilling your fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders, because we are losing money because of this decision you made. So we are going to change, you are going to change either the board of directors and or your CEO, because we want this company to make money for our shareholders and not go in the direction that you're going. That's what I would offer. But these Moms for America are exactly right. We cannot give our money to them. And I understand there was a huge rally outside Disney in Florida, in Orlando, this past weekend, where a very large crowd showed up at the gates of Disney protesting
what
they were doing.
Absolutely. In fact, Congressman, as you know and you articulated a moment ago, in this emergency legislative session about the redistricting, this was brought up and voted on, and it's already been signed by the governor now to restrict the Reedy Creek Improvement District, which covers for Disney about 25,000, 26,000. I've read three different articles. One says 26,000 some odd acres, another says 25,000. So approximately 25,000 acres for what is called Disneyland, where they have their own governance, their own tax base, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The governor signed that to withdraw that special exception. Now, on the surface, I commend them for doing so. But when you drill down in that legislation that was signed off to do so, to restrict them and to withdraw the Reedy Creek Improvement District, it gives 1 year. There's a caveat there that's embedded in that bill that gives 1 year for Disney to straighten up, fly right, and get the sails in order in their ship, or it will be enforced. Now, two questions for you, Congressman Hill. Should that have been a caveat in the bill, or is it a weak legislative scare tactic? And secondly, the Hair on Fire Socialist Marxist Communist BLM Democratic Party and all of their acolytes are saying that it's going to hurt Florida, that it's going to take funds out of Florida, it's going to cause employment, unemployment to skyrocket, et cetera, et cetera. All of the nanny, 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 and look what the governor's doing. Will it affect Florida in that fashion? Will it be a negative effect on the state of Florida? And is it something that, with the legislation, should have just been straightforward to take effect immediately without the caveat of a one-year time lag? What is your take on that, and what is your response to that?
This is the first I've heard of it, Dr. Youngblood, and my initial take would be they should not have compromised and had that one-year caveat in there. I would also go on to say that that was likely done so that they could get the support and votes from the rhinos who are in the House and in the Senate, that if they hadn't done that, the bill may not have had an opportunity to pass. So I'm glad they did, but so that's probably why they did that. However, I don't think you should compromise with the dark side at all, because they are not going to back off, in my mind. Disney can't. They are too woke right now, unless they do get a new board and a new CEO, which will take them in the right direction. But I see that as a far stretch of happening, because this whole idea of this grooming of our children and this wokeness has become such a part of big business in America right now that the only thing that's going to save us is for the Lord to step in and for Christians to be brave and to be a part of the culture, to engage in our culture so that we can control the culture instead of the culture controlling us and the church.
Absolutely. Well stated. And I believe it's time for, and I've said that almost every day in some fashion on this broadcast, we need to take back control of the morals, ethics, and the values in our great nation and reinstate God in the classroom through prayer in the classroom, Bible reading in the classroom, going back to the pledge to the flag in the classrooms, going back to the academic system teaching the academic programs and not brainwashing and indoctrinating our sons and daughters. There's another element to all of this hoopla that's taking place today, Congressman. Looking at two articles, one of them says Florida rejects 54 math books saying some contain critical race theory. Another says Florida educational officials reject 54 math textbooks for attempts to indoctrinate our students. What are your thoughts on that? What do you know about that? And should we, as the liberals are saying, that we are now censoring books in the state of Florida? How do you respond to that? And should this be an ongoing thing for the state of Florida? Should we be concerned about what our kids have in their textbooks, or should this be just simply overlooked?
No, I think that was an excellent move that was done by Florida's Department of Education. The current Secretary of Department of Education is Richard Corcoran. I served with him in the House, and then once I left the House in 2016, he became the speaker immediately following and did an excellent job as Speaker of the House. And so he then moved over to become the Secretary, Department of Education. He was appointed there by Governor DeSantis, and he has done an excellent job removing inappropriate material out of our public schools. And the fact that they removed those 54 books, I would go on to say that there were probably more that could have been done. And those 54 books that were removed out of our public school system was a necessity. It is not censoring at all. Well, let me back up. It is censoring. It's censoring bad material. Yes. That shouldn't be there in the first place. When I was in the House, Dr. Youngblood, I sponsored legislation to remove pornography out of our public schools. Now, it wasn't in the form of you could go to the library and see pictures and so forth, but it was in the form of the reading material that was assigned to the students. And an angry parent, a concerned parent, brought it to me and showed me a book that had been assigned to his ninth grade daughter. And he opened it somewhere in the middle. I started reading, and it was two pages of explicit sexual description that was appalling. I tried to get that removed out of our public schools. There was a pushback from the Education Committee staff in the House. They said if this passes, then some teachers could be charged with being a sexual predator. And so we don't want that. And I said, well, so be it. They shouldn't be teaching that to our children. They shouldn't be grooming our children. But they blocked it from getting a final Education Committee hearing, and so the bill died. And so what is happening now, where the Department of Education is removing those books, is a good thing. It's a godly thing, and I'm glad that it is taking place.
Absolutely. We need to take a stand with Richard Corcoran. By the way, he's not going to be reappointed as Secretary or Commissioner of Education, but as you know, and I'm proud of Richard and his work, Richard Corcoran is a Christian. Most are not aware of that. Richard Corcoran was homeschooled, educated in homeschooling and then in Christian colleges in his educational background, and takes a stand for morals, ethics, and values in education in our state. And I'm thankful for the job that he's done for us for the time that he's been in that position appointed by the governor. Let's switch gears for just a moment, Congressman. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're discussing today some of these issues with Congressman Mike Hill, the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. Congressman, we just had a decision handed down by Catherine Kimball Mizell here in the state of Florida in relationship to the mask mandate that was put in place by Sleepy Joe Biden. And she made the judgment decision. And by the way, there's a 59-page document that is her total judgment decision that was rendered. And in part, Congressman, I'm going to read this to you and let you respond. This is the essence of that 59-page document where she ruled. She made the right decision, I believe. She said the mask mandate was unlawful because it exceeded the statutory authority of the U.S. Centers for Disease and Prevention and because its implementation violated administrative laws, end quote. Explain that to our listeners and your position on that.
She was exactly right, and I was so proud of her for doing that. My only question was, what took so long? And it's probably because the lawsuit wasn't brought to her sooner, or it took time just getting through the courts. But I wish this had been done a year ago. But she is exactly right. It is clear that only Congress has the authority to make laws that would affect an entire nation like that. And the CDC overstepped their authority by saying that to prevent the spread of a disease, we're going to require these masks. And I know, Dr. Youngblood, I don't wear masks, never did when it started. However,
amen. I have it even. I get persecuted for it, but anyway.
That's right. And I did too, going into certain restaurants or even certain big box stores, but I still didn't. But when you're on an airline, when you're trying to fly, they will kick you off the plane if you don't put your mask on. And so you're forced to. And so that's been going on for some time now. And then here is this judge who has set America free. And she's coming out of the free state of Florida, set America free. And the cheers and the joy that was coming from all those passengers to not have to wear those masks anymore was heard immediately. We saw videos of people just twirling their masks, you know, up in the air and cheering that they don't have to wear them anymore. So they did exceed that authority. And I know, Dr. Youngblood, when I was flying, they would make these announcements that according to federal law, masks are required. There never was a federal law. There was perhaps an executive order, but that is not law. And what this judge is saying is that they stepped beyond their authority. There was no law, and it is not enforceable. And so we are removing the thought of their authority for doing it. So I agree with her 100%, and so glad she did it.
Congressman, I am concerned, however, with that. And I am in full agreement with your statements on it. I'm in full agreement with our wonderful judge. Perhaps you've read some of the articles that's coming out of the woke mentality of the Marxist media. One of the articles' headline was that one of Trump's worst appointed judges made a ruling that's going to destroy the health of all Americans. And because she was 33 years old 2 years ago when she was appointed claimed by the leftists today that she did not have the proper courtroom experience, et cetera, yada, 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 then the worst appointed judge by the Trump administration. And, of course, they're bringing President Trump in it and trying to in some way besmirch this dear judge's character and ability by saying that. But now, you know, CDC has just issued an ultimatum. Listen, an ultimatum, a directive to Merrick Garland, the Attorney General with the Department of Justice, that they are to, in fact, file a suit now, a countersuit, to have this judge's decision overturned. In your most humble opinion, what is the potentiality of her, this judge's ruling, being overturned by the suit that would be challenging that by the DOJ?
What's interesting, Dr. Youngblood, is that the CDC is demanding from the Department of Justice to file this lawsuit.
Yes.
It should come from the Department of Justice, not from the CDC directing them to do it. Again, they're overstepping their authority. They're exceeding what their contract originally said that they are able to do. Now, okay, so this is what I suspect is going to happen. They are going to find a court which is going to overturn this decision, whether it's the Ninth Circuit Court or what's the one in D.C., I think the Fifth Circuit Court, whatever. They're going to find a court which is going to overturn this. And so that's what's going to happen. And then it'll have to go to the Supreme Court, which is such a nonsensical thing. Why is things that are of such great importance all have to go to the Supreme Court? And it shouldn't be, but that's what's going to happen. And when, what they are going to demand is, in the meantime, masks have to be worn until a final decision is made, whether it is medically necessary or not. They are going to demand. And it was supposed to expire on the 18th of April, and the CDC wanted to extend it until like another month, until the May 9th or May 19th or something like that. And they were going to keep extending it because they love that power. They love that control.
Yes.
They know it has nothing to do with being medically necessary. They just love being able to tell people what to do, because that gives them more power, more authority, to where they can continue this march of subjugating America to become a part of the one world government.
Absolutely. And when they talk about it being science, it's true. It's political science, however, not medical science. Congressman, got a few minutes left on the broadcast. I understand that you're going to be one of the speakers in the lineup for God and Government seminar at Mid-America Seminary. Take a few minutes and bring us into that circle with what this is about and what you will be saying, and why it's so vital.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And I would encourage your listeners that if they're able to attend. It's called the Culture Engagement Summit. It's going to be held in Memphis, Tennessee on April 30th. And it is an awesome event that's going to be put on. And I'm just honored to be a part of it. And I can read to you some of the speakers that are going to be there. There's Senator Marsha Blackburn. There's Rob Chambers, who is Vice President for the American Family Association. There's Dr. Scott Coulter, who is Conservative Baptist Network. Senator Jim DeMint. William Federer, good friend of mine, President of Amerisearch, Inc. And as you mentioned, Moms for America, their president and founder, Kimberly Fletcher, is going to be there. There's going to be Rick Green, who founded the Patriot Academy. And then there's also Robert Jeffries, pastor of First Baptist Church, Representative Barry Loudermilk from Georgia, and a friend of mine, brilliant person, Trevor Luda. Then there's Mark Meadows. He's going to be there also. Senator Rick Scott is going to be there. Dr. Michael Spradlin, who's president of the Mid-American Baptist Theological Seminary, Todd Stearns, Fred Tappan, who is a host of the Fred Tappan Show, the guy who stopped the shooting that was taking place in Texas at one of the churches, he's going to be there. So the whole idea is, let's get engaged and influence our culture. Let's take some action. Let's not just complain about what's going on. Let's do something about it. The registration, you can go to citizensforamericafoundation.com and register for this conference. That's citizensforamericafoundation.com. And then not only are we going to have all those great speakers, Dr. Youngblood, and thank you for giving me the time to talk about this, we're going to have some breakout sessions that are going to be led by some very distinguished people. And some of the topics that we have are engaging your family to impact the culture for Jesus, how to lead people to Jesus, knowing what you believe and why you believe it, talk less, pray more, human trafficking in America, the cancel culture on college campuses. And I'm going to be speaking about how to engage with your representatives, with your congresspeople, and the church must lead the way to taking our country back. We're going to talk about the sufficiency of the Bible, finding your starting point to engage the culture, how to get involved in party politics, engaging the public arena for Jesus, and many more. It is going to be a fantastic one-day conference that's April 30th in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm excited to be a part of it, Dr. Youngblood. In fact, I'm humbled that they asked me to be a part with so many other great people who are going to be there. And I,
well,
would
I think
encourage...
I think they made the right decision, including you in that circle. So I can praise the Lord for that, and I'm thankful to know that you're going to be part of that. Give that information once again. We've got about a minute left. That information once again for those that are listening that want to participate or be involved with that. And I believe it will be illuminating, educational, and inspirational for those that can be there and participate. Give that contact information again, if you would, Congressman.
You can go to citizensforamericafoundation.com. citizensforamericafoundation.com, and you can see the entire agenda and also register to attend.
Congressman, one final thing before we close the broadcast today. Number one, I'm thankful that you've joined us, and I'm thankful for your insight and your wisdom that God has given you. Would you issue a last moment challenge to our listeners for their involvement to be salt and light and what Christians ought to do in view of all these things we've talked about? As Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? Issue that challenge to our listeners as we close.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I think we should follow the commandment of God. That's the first step. Believe what he said. And his commandment was, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. So you can say, okay, I'm not afraid. He also went on to say, and do not be dismayed. Don't be dejected, downcast about what you see going on. If you're not afraid and you're not dismayed, then you have the courage to step forward and be a voice to save this great nation that God gave to us for a blessing. And the reason he tells us is don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. It's in Joshua 1:9. He said, because the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go.
Amen. Congressman, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
A First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.